from scriptures that you read fairly recently. How many just remember you just read Exodus? In fact, Robert, what chapter are you on in Bible study? Oh, you're on 20. This week coming up? Are you just started? You've been in 3 weeks. Oh, good. So you're going to. This is not going to be an in-depth study. You're getting that on Wednesday night. So join with Robert as we, you know, as we study together God's Word, as we look at it more closely. And that's, you know, I try to when I preach on, you know, I try to do teach. You know, I always like to teach, but I want to preach too and do a little bit of both. But you know, for verse by verse, you know, continue to study on Wednesday night. And it's interesting. We're in that chapter right now. I knew he was close around there, but. But I want to point out something in that chapter, starting with the first verse. And it says in verse 1 of Exodus 20, short verse, and God spoke all these words saying. Now, I mentioned this before, maybe here, I've said this many, many times over the years, with all deference to Mr. DeMille, maybe you know what I'm talking about, right? The movie. It's a good movie. It is a good movie. Not very biblically accurate, but it's a good movie, you know. But with all deference to him, you know, Charlton Heston did not give the Ten Commandments. Okay? And neither did Moses. God spoke to them. We don't always recognize that, and a lot of times popular things creep into our, you know, mind, and we think, okay, well, Moses went up, got the commandments, said to the people, hey, here's the ten commandments from God, you know. No. There was great preparation for the people to approach that mount where they would now hear from God directly themselves. I mean, those commandments are amazing. You know them. You're studying them with Robert. If you didn't start yet, you go online and check out the last few weeks and then join this week. You read through them. Remember as you read through them, as you study them, that God spoke these words directly to them. The laws were not invented then. God didn't just say, what should I do with all these people now? Let me make up some rules. Right? No. This is always what God had. This is who God is. This is he's speaking to us from his nature, if you will, and his law that he is. There's no separation from God and his word and the essence of who he is. You know, things like it is wrong, to steal or to murder or to covet. And these are in the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, you know. But it's not like God just said, hey, I think it would be a good idea. No. It's what was already in the heart of people before the commandments were given. God put his law, if you will, in the hearts of people and gave them a conscience to kind of know that things were wrong. From creation, God told us and had us understand these things. But because of our sin, because of our desire in our hearts to go our own way and to be rebellious, God's now giving them and codifying the law. Now, the Ten Commandments are not the whole law, but it is representative of what was going to follow. And he gives them the law. He gives them these commandments. Some have said that these commandments are God's nature expressed in the terms of moral imperatives. We see throughout society for millennia that regardless of people's knowledge or familiarity with God or the Bible, we see societies, cultures that all agree that murder is wrong, that all agree that stealing is wrong. They all agree it's wrong to take another man's wife. They all agree on these things. Where did that come from? Before, even if they never heard the Ten Commandments or the law, God had put it in our hearts. But God is codifying it again. So God spoke these words. In these words, when he would then go further and give them the remainder of the law through Moses, he spoke these commandments, and I'll get to the aftermath in a moment because that's the heart of our message today. But in the law itself was not only the idea of what these commandments were, but in the law was the sacrifice, the covenant of sacrifice. We talked about it just a few moments ago, the shedding of the animals, because God knew, and the people kind of knew in their own hearts, that they were never going to be able to keep this law perfectly. So there needed to be a sacrifice. There needed to be a substitute, if you will. They had to depend on the sacrifice of an innocent victim, in this case the animals, as a substitute for the guilty lawbreaker. You know, it's been said in the Bible, and it's true, that the law is a schoolmaster. It teaches us. It's like a mirror to us. It shows us in these ourselves, and it shows us where we go wrong. One day, Jesus was in, had an encounter with a man who is a lawyer, you know. He asked him a question in Matthew 22. Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus was not saying do away with the ten, not do away with the law. He's saying, but if you understand the God's purpose in giving us these commandments, he says it could be boiled down to do these two things. Because if you truly love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to end up keeping the law. You're going to do it. Your heart's in the right place. So the two commands, if you will, of Jesus don't eliminate the ten, but it fulfills them, showing us the heart and the desire of God for us to love God with everything, to love your neighbor as yourself. See, the problem, though, with that is not on God's side, it's on our side. And the problem is that most, sometimes even those who come to church on a regular basis, not necessarily here, but it may resonate with you, that many don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear those commands of God, much less obey them. Let's look a little further in our text to see what happened. Because remember, here they are. God gave them all the preparations. Come to the base of the mount. I will speak to the people from there. And God spoke. Verse 18. Now all the people witnessed. Now this is after the commandments are given. The thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. This is in Exodus 20, verse 18. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. God had told them they only can come so far. It would have been nice to hear that when God spoke to the people, that their hearts burned within them so much that they were pressing to move closer to God. And Moses and the other men had to restrain them from getting even closer to God. You would love to hear this, but no, they hear God's voice, the voice of God. They see the display, the awesome display, and they're like, whoop, I can see them like kind of doing this, you know, tipping back. No. Verse 19 says, then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. Again, we would love to write the story our way and say the people wanted to rush closer to God and they had to be restrained because they wanted more and they wanted to hear more from God. But the Bible tells us differently. The people's recoiled. They pushed back. No, don't let God speak to us anymore. Moses, you tell us what God says. You tell us. They were afraid. They pulled back. You know, on one hand, it is appropriate in the presence of a holy, awesome God to have fear, a healthy, good fear. I mean, we see biblically, we see, you know, the prophet, we see Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lift up and I'm a man of unclean lips. We see the Apostle John when he saw the resurrected Lord, when he was receiving the revelation, he fell down as dead. We understand that God is fearful in that way. He's an awesome God. But that fear also should not want us to recoil from him, that fear of God and understanding who he is and the awesome power of the God displayed also in his great love for us should want us to get closer to him, to draw even closer to him. You speak with us, Moses. We'll hear you, and by implication, if you will, they're saying, we'll hear you, we'll listen to what you tell us God said. They wanted a mediator. Now, a mediator is okay to a degree, but the Bible tells us that the only way a real mediator works is if the mediator is the one that is following the true mediator, Jesus Christ. Because no man can act as a mediator between man and God. 1 Timothy 2:5 reminds us that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is the only mediator. They were seeking Moses to be the intermediary between them and God. See, later, because they did not want to hear from God directly, I don't want to get to that a little bit more in just a moment here, they began to, through the generations, interpret God's word for themselves in a downward spiral to make it easier, what they said, they thought, easier for them to obey, which actually in many ways made it harder because they added so many crazy things to God's, you know, law. But what happened was it got to the point that when Jesus did come to the earth, he said to the people, he said, listen, you have heard them say this, but I want to tell you what the truth is. Over that period of the years and years and years, they had changed much of what God said. Verse 20 says in our text, Moses said to the people, do not fear, don't fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you. Why? To petrify you? No, so that you will not sin. A healthy fear of God is good. It reminds us of our sinfulness and our propensity to rebel and to get away from God and to turn away from God. But he says, no, God's showing you his holiness. He's showing you his perfection. He's showing you his love. He's showing you all these things and speaking to you himself. And his desire is for you to respond appropriately, to come to know him more, not to run away from him so that you do not sin. Sin is what separates us from our holy God. Sin is what separates us from our holy God. See, this test, if you will, revealed to them what kind of God they served and who he was and what God's expectations were of them. It revealed to them, you know, their own weakness and their own inability to do these things. But it also revealed to them and to us today reading this, their own hearts and their lack of desire to want to hear from God for themselves. That's the heart of this message today. Do we really want to hear from God? Do we really want to hear from God? Again, a holy God is to be feared. An old-time Bible commentator said, fear not, yet fear. That's how he put it. Fear not, yet fear. John, the apostle, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said in his first epistle, chapter 4, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So fear in that sense, as John is saying, is good. It should remind us of God's holiness and our sinfulness, but also it should also remind us of his love. And because of his love, he has beckoned us to draw close. God did not have to speak to the people in Israel back then. He did not owe them any of that. He wanted to speak to them. He wanted them to have a relationship with him. He wanted them to hear his voice. Verse 21 of 20 says this, so the people stood afar off. But Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. What Israel recoiled from, Moses coveted it. There's the distinction. There's the contrast. They said, no! Moses went, ooh. I want more. I want more. I want more. Moses had a relationship with God, if you will, you'll call the word the common Israel, a person in Israel. Not because he was anything special. He was a murderer. He was a man who didn't want to serve God. He wanted to just hide out on the other side of the desert till he died. God had to push him into service, you know? Moses was not a perfect man, but like David, he had a heart for God. He had a heart after God. When he recognized the holiness of God, when he had his encounters with God, he desired more. He desired to get closer to God. You know, in your text, at one point he says, God, I now even want to see you. He did not recoil. Moses went back up the mountain to receive more revelation from God for the people, but also he wanted to connect more with God on a very personal level. See, let's just go through a few chapters ahead, and you guys have just read this, many of you, and if not, you've read it before, and you may have recognized this. Now, when the people, this is in Exodus 32, when Moses went up with God, he was up there for a while. How long was he up there? 40 days. He didn't eat or drink either. Isn't that amazing? Ooh, we can't go 40 minutes sometimes without that. So 40 days in the presence of God. As God is obviously supernaturally, you know, sustaining him, but he's like, I'm in God's presence. What do I need earthly things for, right? Now, when the people saw, Exodus 32, that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered to Aaron. They gathered together to Aaron, his brother, right? The high priest to be in waiting here. Come, make us gods. Make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So in a little over a month's time, after hearing from God, and then saying, we don't want to hear from God, let that guy Moses talk to us. When Moses is now on the mountain, listen, drawing close to God, which was beneficial for him, but he was also receiving from God revelation that was for the people, which would be good for them. They got, where'd he go? We're tired of waiting. And not only are we tired of waiting, we need something else. See, because they put their desire in their heart in a man, you go to God and you tell us what God says. They did not want to hear from God on their own. So they go, and we, you know, you would think Moses was gone 40 days, right? So how did they respond? They didn't run to God themselves in prayer. They didn't cry out in the mountain and say, God, where's Moses? God, if Moses is gone now, then we speak to us. They didn't cry out to God. They go to Aaron, make us gods, make us other gods. They went from not wanting to hear God to saying, well, let Moses speak to us, and in Moses' absence, they want to make false gods. And now here's Aaron, right? The brother, the high priest-to-be, right? What does he say? Oh, no, my people! Did you not hear God from the mountain? You shall only serve the Lord your God. Make no other gods before him. Do not make any graven images. Is that what Aaron said? No. He said, all right, give me all your gold and your earrings, and we'll make a god. People. When we lack a desire to hear the word of God for ourselves, and we only want to hear what people tell us is in the word of God, it is a dangerous place to be. Does that mean that if the people wanted to hear from God and desired that, that Moses would have been out of a job? No. No. God still had that role in place for him to lead the people. Now, this is my opinion. Okay, I always like to say when I'm opinion, I think I could back it up by scripture, but my opinion is, I believe if the people really had a desire to hear from God, then when Moses came back down from the mountain and gave them the other parts of the law, you know what would have happened when they got, he said, now take them into the promised land? They would have said, yep, let's keep going. Because they would have heard from God, they would have been seeking God's face, they would have wanted to follow God, but now it's all off the rails. They're making false gods. They're making, you know, the golden calf, and they're running around naked and partying and doing all kind of abominations. 40 days. See, today, we have to bring this to our time now. Today, it should be the desire of everybody, but let's just keep it to the in-house now, to those who seek God, who call themselves Christians. It should be the desire of every Christian to want to hear God for themselves. Why do you think that we have said, let's read through the Bible? Because many of us have never read it. And I'm not saying that to anybody's shame. I'm saying we know, as those who've been given responsibility by God to lead people and to teach people, and all that, we know the best thing to do is to have us all in this Word together on a regular basis. It's important to know what it says, and then more important than to know what it says, to have that heart and desire to want to know what it says. Right? Does that mean that if we all read the Bible this year, that quote-unquote, I'm out of a job? Well, first of all, this is not a job for me by God's grace, so I don't worry about that. I thank you, Jesus, for what I have the opportunity to do and the pleasure to serve in this manner. But does that mean that I won't have to do this anymore? No! God said in the New Testament, there's pastors, teachers, evangelists, there's offices in the church. We still have a responsibility to do what we do. But I want to say something to you, which many of you know. First of all, does God still speak today? Yes. You're most likely not going to hear an audible voice. Not saying he can't. There's nothing in the Bible. You can just check it out. Don't listen to me. Nothing that says he cannot speak audibly today. There's nothing says in the Bible, God will never speak audibly again after, you know. No, he can. Even the times in the Old Testament he spoke audibly, they were very few and far in between. You know that. God wasn't out there on a megaphone every day, hey people, here I am, God, checking in. No, it was rare that God actually spoke audibly. But God does speak. Today, the Bible tells us God speaks to us primarily how? Through his word. Right? Sometimes God speaks to us through circumstances that he leads us into to teach us lessons. God uses his own body, the body of Christ, for brothers and sisters to share with us from the word of God that God uses as today. If I'm preaching and teaching, you know, the word of God comes from him. It's his word, but we these are vessels God uses to bring the word to us so that we're able to hear it, to understand it, to want to apply it, right? So God does speak today. And his word has given us everything we need, the Bible says, to live a life. But the question is now for us, do we truly desire to hear from him? Not Pastor Joe. Do you understand the difference? If he's going to use me as a vessel, praise God, but let's hear what Jesus has to say, not my, that's why I always am clear. If I'm giving an opinion, which I don't do that often, you know, when I'm preaching, but if I do, I want to say, this is just my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. But what's the Lord say? What does his word say? And if he can use this vessel to help us to understand and to use the illustrations, whatever, that's great. But our desire should be, hey, let's not read our Bibles. Let's not worry about God. And then on Sunday, we'll go to church for an hour, and whether it's me or somebody else will speak up there, and they'll tell us everything God has to say. No, that got them in trouble a long time ago, did it not? I'm concerned this morning about our desire to hear from God. Our desire. Don't take this message as a condemnation if you're not reading through the Bibles with us. That's not what this is about. That's not. This is a message that the Lord put on my heart for all of us. However we engage with God through his word, whether you read it just a devotion a day or this, that, or the other thing, but you are going to want to spend time not only reading his word, but asking him, Father, help me to understand your word. Teach me how to apply your word. Help me to grow by your word. Help me to keep your word. Help me to share your word with others. Not my word, your word with others, so that I don't lead people astray. Real quickly, because I got to bring this all together. One of my favorite things that I like to do occasionally is, and I have actually preached messages on this from time to time, but it's like sayings that are not in the Bible, that we kind of, a lot of people think are in the Bible. You know, one of the most famous ones is, God only helps those who help themselves. Find it for me. It's not in there. It's not in there. It's not. Another one that is very common, even amongst people, Christians who love the Lord and have read the Bible, and this might be a small thing, but I'm using this as an example just to kind of make this point. Oh, yeah, well, when Eve ate the apple. Now, my first thought when people say that is, was it a Macintosh, a Gala, Golden Delicious, a Granny Smith, was a little bitter? She ate of the fruit. Was it? I have no idea. From the tree that was in the middle of the garden. We don't know. Now you say, well, what's that? What's the point about this? Let me give it to you. Explain it. When we are unfamiliar with the Word of God for ourselves and don't desire to check it out for ourselves, nefariously sometimes, or sometimes just mistakenly, people will come that you're now putting your trust into to teach you the Word of God. They say something like, oh, yeah, when Eve ate the apple. And you go, uh-huh. Now, I'm being a little thing. I'm using this as just an example. I'm being a little funny here for the purpose of the point. Eve ate the apple. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, and then you remember. And then the snake got up and hypnotized her with his eyes, right? Yeah, and then the snake made her do that. Right? Do you understand what can happen? You just start, if you put your trust in only what people say is in here, they may be telling you things that are not in there. Now, I know I'm being a little ridiculous, but you understand the point. Satan came into the garden and realized that Eve got it wrong a little bit. One word. And he got it, and he said, I'm going to go in now. That's the bad side of it. That if we're not in the Word ourselves, we can be potentially easily duped. And maybe not intentionally. Sometimes it's just people who don't know themselves teaching people who don't know, and then they both fall into this together. But I mean, that's okay. But here's the positive side of it. Those of you who are teachers would understand this, but all of us, I think, understand it, whether we're teachers or students. Do you know how much easier it is to teach someone when they have a desire to be taught? Right? When somebody is engaged in a subject matter and they want to know, man, the teacher's like, okay, let's go, baby. Let's go. We go run with this. You know, like in my school career, you know, I was, you know, a good student. I could have been a much better student. I didn't always apply myself as I did. But in the subjects that I really liked, man, you know, you just like, not only are they easy, but the teacher feeds that. We had an Italian teacher when I took Italian in high school that our whole class, it wasn't just me, really loved the subject matter so much that he accelerated our thing way past what we were supposed to do. And he was teaching us college level Italian in high school. And we were like, we were translating Pinocchio from old Italian to modern Italian back to English. I'm serious. This is what, because we had a hunger, we had a desire, and he took this class and he ran with it. You know, when we want to be in God's Word, do you know the joy it is for us to sit together, to reason together, to share together, like you're going to do today when you stay? You're going to say, "We just read this." And then we're going to have this wonderful discussion based upon the Word of God that we've just been feasting on for the last several weeks or month, right? And all of a sudden now we're engaged and we're desiring to hear from God today in a unique, wonderful way as He's been speaking to us individually, as we share what He's been speaking to our hearts. And that is so wonderful. It's so good. I love when somebody says to me, "Pastor Joe, you said something Sunday, and I don't know if I heard you wrong or this." And they say something, and I go, "You know what? You know what? You did hear me wrong, but I'm glad you were listening, and I'm glad you knew what was in there. In case I did make a mistake, you would be able to call me on it." And please do that. If I ever say something and I misspeak or whatever, I would, God forbid, ever not do it intentionally. But, you know, sometimes we're human, right? Call me on it. Say, "Pastor Joe, you said, but I was in the Word, and it doesn't say that." Please. But isn't that great to be able to do that? Because why? A desire to hear from God for ourselves and not wait for the person to speak only to us for God. So I want us to continue to read the Word. I do not want us to be the type of people that Jesus said in, you know, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." I don't want us just to read it mechanically, but I want us to read it. I want us to take time together to talk about it, to study it, as you stay today, to really take that time for whatever time you're together to really get deeper into the Word. I want us to obey the Word. I want us to live the Word out. I want us to pray the Word back to God. God loves when we pray His Word back to Him, when we remind Him of His promises. You know, God loves that because He knows that we desire His Word to be part of our lives. But above all those things, I don't want you just to read. I don't want you just to do. Above all these things, our desire, our heart's desire is that as we are in His Word, that we say, Lord, I want to hear from You. Speak to me. The Old Testament had a man called Eli who was back in the book of Samuel who was not doing a good job. And young Samuel was given by his mom to be there as the special child to work there. And one day he was there and God began to speak to Samuel. And Samuel never had heard God's voice, didn't know what to do. And he thought Eli was calling him. And he said, hey, you know, he heard God. He went to Eli. What do you want? I didn't call you. Happened again. I didn't call you. Then finally Eli perceives. He says, that's God calling the boy. He says, Samuel, when you hear that voice next time, do you know what you say? God, don't talk to me. God, no, I don't want to hear you. God, go talk to Eli. He's older. He's been around. No, he said, say, here I am, Lord. Your servant is listening. That's our desire. If it's not your desire, ask the Lord to help you to have that desire in your heart. Lord, as I read your word, as I come to church, as I share with other people, as I desire to live it, Lord, speak to me. Your servant is listening. Father, thank you today. Lord, create in us a heart, a desire to know and to want to know not only the truth of your word, but you through your word. You desire, Lord, things. Father, I believe you spoke to the prophet, Lord, Hosea, a long time ago. Lord, you have said to him that you want, Lord God, more than these other things and burnt offerings and anything else. You want people to have a knowledge of you. Father, I pray today that through your word, through our coming together as your church, through our times at the communion table, through our times of gathering, that what would grow within us is a greater desire to know your word and to hear your voice speak to our hearts, individually and corporately. Father, let us pray today that like those disciples, Lord, on the Emmaus Road, that when you began to open the Old Testament scripture to them and show them everything about yourself, their hearts burned within them, not only from the great Bible study, but they yearned for you, Lord God. They wanted a closer walk, and when you revealed yourself to them, they couldn't believe it. And they knew you were alive, and they ran back to tell everybody about it, Lord God. So, Father, help us today to have a greater desire than to want to know your word and hear your voice for ourselves, with a desire like Moses to get closer and to draw closer and to draw closer, to have, Lord God, a wonderful, personal, vibrant, exciting relationship with you, which I believe is what you desire to have with us. So, Lord, let your word today, this message, not return void. Let it accomplish everything you desire for it to accomplish.